Whenever it comes, oh, there it goes. That was some awkward darkness.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening?
We are going to probably try to cut that out. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Two BFFs and a Mic. My name is Dalton.
And my name is Ruby Jane.
And welcome back. Thank you for coming back and listening to us again, because we're nuts. Dalton's very nuts today.
Yeah. very much so.
We're going to... guess go into the quote for the day, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what we're going to start with, and we'll start with our quote from Steve Harvey.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right.
You can protect yourself from negativity, and that's what stops most people, negative thoughts. The way you can put a coating around your mind is with one simple thing, gratitude. Gratitude erases negativity. I'm going to show you how this works. If you wake up in the morning, you start having negative thoughts. Every time you feel, in the middle of the day, if you feel yourself doing that, stop. Just stop for a second. And start going over in your mind everything you have to be grateful for. Not everything you want. Everything you already have. Because what you have is substantial. But the fact that you can walk, that's a blessing. The fact that you woke up, that's another blessing. The fact that you can see, think, reason, that's another blessing. The fact that you have any measure of health, that's another blessing. And I'm just talking to you. I don't even know you. I could give you 50 things you ought to be grateful for right now. I don't even know you.
And wait for the camera to come back. Takes its little bit of time.
Oh, yeah. It does lag, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're going to fix that this week.
Yeah. We're just, like, all about, like, trying new things. And that's, what, I guess, what this episode's all about, is try new things.
Well, yeah, well, definitely, because I like to not sit still and do the same thing over and over. I'm always trying something.
Dude, I know, and every single time I come in, it's, like, a whole different setup.
That's because I'm ADHD, and if it looks weird, I don't like it, then I gotta fix it, and then I gotta change it, because then I hyperfixate on the whole situation.
Yeah, you do that. It's funny. And in a way, but it's also like, okay, what are you going through to cause you to fixate and change it so much?
It's just my brain has to keep moving.
Yeah.
And like, if I zone in on one thing, it's like my brain either has to do that or I'm going to completely forget what I'm doing and do a whole nother thing.
True. That's how my mom's brain is.
And then I'm not going to come back and do it because I'm that lazy.
Oh, jeez.
I either do it when I'm thinking about it or it's just going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So. Okay, there's a serious lag.
Well, I guess we're just not going to look at the camera. Okay, anyways.
Well, we'll see what happens by the end of it when I go to record, if this is just going to be a video podcast or a regular podcast this week.
Either way, you guys are going to be hearing from us today.
Well, 100%. Okay, so what we're going to talk about is a few things like superstitions. 7 well-known superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to hop into, like, a journey of my life for self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I went through a lot growing up as gay in the closet in a Bible Belt state.
Yeah.
So, I've been through a lot, I've learned from a lot, and I've kept moving forward.
Yeah. I can't wait to dive into that one.
It's going
to
be something. But that one's...
I think what's incredible, though, is that, like, I got to experience half of it.
Yes.
Like, not, like, from... 14, 15 and under, I didn't get to experience, but from mm-hmm. like 14, 15 to now, I got to experience that, and to see your growth mm-hmm. is just been incredible to watch.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm a fabulous person to be around.
I mean, you're not wrong.
And I will tell you how it is, straight up.
That's very true. Like,
it can be a little aggressive.
It can be very, very blunt.
But it's never hostile.
No, and what I've actually found is that every single time you do tell the truth, I'm like, hey, this is just not going to work out.
It ends up happening to not work out.
Yeah, and to the point where I'm like, you know what? This motherfo was right. And I should have just listened to you from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. We should have. Always. Because
you do that with... Dude, I kid you not. Every single time I bring a man around him, he's like, it's not it. I'm not feeling it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's going to be fine. And then two weeks later, he's like, told you so.
Right.
All right, let's jump into the superstitions.
But after we talk about, like, life problems, we're going to talk about living with an OCD fiance and an ADHD fiance.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch, to be honest. Because
we make it work, but sometimes it don't work.
You guys found the balance.
All right. So going into superstitions, one of the first ones that come up is the opening an umbrella inside, which Noli is known for that.
Very much so. It actually grates my nerves.
Yeah, because it's a superstition that you think about.
Yeah, because all I'm thinking is, damn it, I'm going to have to, like, cleanse my house, you know.
Well, it's actually funny that you think it like that, because it's nothing like that at all.
Really?
Completely, the superstition, it's just like, opening an umbrella inside isn't the smartest option, especially if you live in small quarters or where with valuables, trinkets, knickknacks, and fragile items are in. Mm-hmm. You could knock over and break everything. You could physically harm yourself. I mean,
oh, so it's literally just like, don't open because you're gonna break shit.
Pretty much. But it also comes from ancient Egypt, where umbrellas were used to protect nobles, high class people from the sun, and opening an umbrella indoors or in the shade was considered an offense to the sun god.
Yeah, speaking of that, because that actual thinking from Egypt of the sun protecting them because they didn't want darker skin, that actually carried over up until like maybe like 70 years ago.
Right.
More like 100 years ago.
It was a while.
Yeah, because in the early 1900s, the, I guess you can say the wealthy, they would carry an umbrella while they walked.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially in like New York when they would walk.
Right. And sometimes they're just like a lace umbrella, which is just a, what is it called?
A parasol?
Parasol.
Is it a parasol?
Yes. It's the lace umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
A shade block. It's not to cover you from anything.
Yeah, that's also like with the ancient Egypt part with covering them from the sun. That's why I kind of get a kick out of it when people are like, Egyptians, pharaohs, they're dark skin. Like, they're really tan.
Really not. If you think back in history, they have their natural tones, but they're not crispy.
They're not like super tan because they wanted to define that the lighter they are, the more higher up they are to their slaves.
Gotcha. That's why they're all crispy.
Yeah, that's why pharaohs, when you see them, that's why they're painted so much lighter than their workers.
Right.
Anyways, keep going.
Sign of where class you're in. Okay.
Sign of wealth.
I see. That one's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Black cats.
Oh,
do you have this superstition by crossing the path of a black cat?
I have heard about it, but no.
It doesn't bother you? It's not something you think about?
No.
Gotcha. So, in medieval times, people associated black cats with the devil and the black plague.
Which is hilarious because the black plague was passed through rats.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Rats started it.
But that's what we knew at now. They didn't know that.
True. They did not know that.
I mean, but then you got to think these felines were also associated with witches and witchcraft cultures, and where often murder from these.
I knew that. I kind of knew that because, well, sounds really bad, but the Sanderson sisters, Binx was a black cat.
Yes, so
that kind of tied me into witchcraft with black cats.
No, it's not always that case, but
oh, I know.
They're used as familiars. Which is a connection to different gods and goddesses. It just kind of depends on where they can be.
Yeah.
It just depends who you associate them with.
Yeah. I don't see black cats. Like, I've always heard that they're, like, bad luck, but I never, like, knew that they're, like...
It's 100% a superstition.
Yeah. Did not know that.
It was created, so...
That's great. That's, to me, that's like, okay, just don't get a black cat, and you'll be fine.
And it wasn't unheard if, people seek black cats for their everyday lives, think it's the worst. So if they have a black cat in their house, they feel like their life is the worst.
Oh, that's true.
So it's,
that's wild.
I'm like, okay.
Well, okay.
No, it's just a cat. Just a cat.
The cat's not going to do anything to you, I promise, unless you piss the cat off. And then you got a problem.
Yep. So, I mean, but I like my cats. Black cats, cute cats, all of them. They're all cute. Cats are cute. But,
I'll just get a black cat and again name them Binx.
That is so cheesy. Everybody calls their black cat Binx.
Oh, I know. But it's fun. It's fun. You have to admit.
How about Obsidian?
Obsidian?
Or Onyx?
Or Reese from Resand.
True.
From Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yeah.
That would be a good one.
Could be. All right.
Okay, I know this one.
You know about walking under a ladder.
Yeah, that's actually one of my superstitions.
What do you know as for it being a superstition for you? What do you know without looking at the paper?
So I've always been told that walking under a ladder brings really bad luck. Because, you know, safety purposes and everything else. So I just don't walk under ladders. And when people walk under ladders, it freaks me the hell out. Because I'm like, you're really bringing bad juju into this. Like, no, please stop. Like,
right.
There was one time where I was working at this one place and they were doing all this work. And people just kept walking under the ladders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, you're really asking for some bad luck towards you, aren't you? And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, walking under a ladder is bad luck.
Is okay, what everybody what is it? Calls it. They okay, say it's for it? Bad luck. This superstition is often associated with Christianity because of the trilogy.
Trinity.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And because an open ladder leaning against the wall looks like a triangle. When someone walks under the ladder, it looks like they're breaking the triangle.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. I didn't even know that. My mom and my grandma just told me that I was bad luck just so I never did it. And I bet you $5 it was because of the Holy Trinity.
Another could be reason for it is because, not to mention, walking under a ladder can harm you or the person standing on the ladder. Because if you trip and fall, it's going to land on your head.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
There's another reason why you should never walk under a ladder, because if someone's on it, they could fall because you hit the bottom of it on accident.
Yeah.
Then you're squished.
And that's not good.
But that's where it comes from, is they say it's from the
Holy Trinity.
Yep.
The three Trinity is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right, but that's why they say don't, because you're breaking that triangle.
Okay, well, now
completely,
I know.
Like, led for nothing, like, anything crazy, like bad luck or anything like that. It's just like you're breaking the Trinity for some reason.
And then the second one is, you're going to hurt yourself.
Right, because all it takes is for someone to trip, and then you're both hurt.
Yeah, it's not one, but it's two people.
Right.
And do you really want somebody who's above you falling?
No, I don't
want
to be sued or lawsuited, so we're not going to do that.
Or end up in the hospital being crushed.
I'm a big bone boy. I don't think it's going to put me in a hospital.
Could you imagine, though, like, going into the hospital and you're like, what brought you in today?
I fell under a ladder.
I walked under a ladder and the person above me fell on me. Could you imagine? I don't think I could put like,
that's one of those
together.
Sex burnt me to the ER situations. The ladder took me out.
The ladder just took me out. Okay,
it said, you're done. Do this again later. So, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
No.
I'm not going to the hospital. I would probably try to walk it off before going to the hospital for being crushed by a ladder. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'd look at everybody and be like, hey, just give
me
a second.
I'm fine. Let me walk it off.
Yeah, let me just lay here for a second. Let me rub some dirt on it and I'll be fine.
Call it a day.
Yeah. My dad always told me, if you get hurt, just rub some dirt on it and walk
sure
it off.
Sure would. It'll make it go away. It's so much better.
You know, for the longest time, I believed that. Because every single time
I put some dirt in it.
Yeah, because when I got hurt on playing softball, I take the dirt and I literally run it over, and within like seconds, it was done. It was over.
It stops bleeding because the sand or dirt is soaking up the blood.
No, and not just for cuts, but like if I hurt my elbow or like
you
I
just
fell,
take some dirt and go, oh, fix it.
Yeah, and then I was fine.
No.
Like,
I've never.
But I also took my dad's like word. Like even to this day, I take my parents' word
over everything.
Like, it's like the gospel. Like, mm-hmm. I will follow it to a T. Like,
well, that's because your dad and your mom have, they've seen a lot, and they know a lot.
They could tell me the sky is purple, and I'm like, yes, sir, it is.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, especially if I look through that filter. It's real purple.
It's real purple.
So.
I mean, that's just, this is just, they could tell me that coffee is bitter, and I'll be like, yes, it is.
This coffee is not bitter, girl. This is Black Rifle Coffee Company.
It's also hazelnut.
I love my hazelnut.
I don't like hazelnut. Starbucks always asks me, do you still want the hazelnut in it? Because it's vanilla hazelnut. And I'm like, no.
So you don't?
I don't.
Vanilla.
I don't like hazelnut.
I don't know why, because it's so good. I don't know. I guess it's just because I like nut.
You know, well, we're all thinking the same thing.
I like that hazelnut. Calm down. You know where my brain went.
That nut. All right, let's go on to
the next one. Breaking mirrors.
Yeah, you break a mirror, you get 10 years bad luck.
Why do you say that?
Because you're breaking, I don't know.
No, wait. What do you think?
I think, like, I guess the reason why you have 10 years of bad luck from breaking a mirror is because you're breaking the image of yourself. You're breaking the good juju. I don't know.
So,
wait, what's the
sign? The same kind of concept area in that. So, okay. It comes from the Greek culture. People believed the mirror could hold your soul after looking at them. Which is another, I've heard of this one. That's why you don't sleep with a mirror facing the bed.
Well, it's a good thing I don't got mirrors in my bed.
Well, that's, like, it says at night that when your body is relaxed in that state where you can dream walk or you can do whatever, it could snatch your spirit.
Shut the hell up. That and is, this is why I have no mirrors in my bedroom.
They should not be in the bedroom. Closed. Really. Just because they are a gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And most, like, different beliefs and stuff like that, they fall under as a gateway to trap your soul or keep a piece of it there.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
So, if you break a mirror, you're breaking part of your soul. Have 7 years of bad luck, is what it says. It's literally, it's always been 7 years. Ever since this that superstition started, it's always been 7 years.
Well, it's a good thing I haven't broken any mirrors. I am terrified. We're not doing that. Them.
We don't want to break no mirrors.
No.
But breaking the mirror can cause glass shards and cut you and potentially your body or skin. So that's another reason why you should not break a mirror.
Well, yeah, because it's glass.
You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So, like...
Oh, I'm going to pick up that shard of glass. I'm
let's just get stabbed. I mean, you're just going to punch it. What if a shard goes and stabs you right in the gut? Like, you're done.
You punch a mirror?
If you punch it, glass shatters.
Absolutely, but I don't think you're going to punch, you know, unless you Hulk it, then it's
so it's
potential.
Definitely not fun to break glass.
No. Whoever thinks it is.
Right. But, like I saying that it could capture you, that's very known in Native America, Americans. They believe that it will capture your soul.
Mirrors?
Yes, they just snatch you and take you.
I wonder what, I wonder if it's all Native Americans or if it's like a specific tribe.
When I was doing the research, it's from like a study from the South, United States, college.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina's, college.
USC?
That's the one.
Okay.
They did a study on superstitions.
USC did a study on superstition, but they didn't clarify which...
Where it fully laid lines
and
what belief and how it's interpreted.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is, like, when they did a superstition research on breaking mirrors, did they discuss which tribe believes in that?
No.
Because each tribe has their own
different choices and belief.
Yeah, they have their own thinking.
So, no, I didn't see that. It was just more of like a small snippet of like the Native Americans.
Okay, so they're just covering all of it.
Yeah. So they're just saying that it is a strong superstition in Native Americans.
That's pretty cool.
So which
it kind of reminds me of the ring. There's a ring. There's this thing with Cherokees where if you have loved ones, you have a gemstone in your ring and it represents each family member. And every single time, like those gemstones will stay in there as long as they're alive. But if they die before you die, you have to break that stone out of your ring to represent that they've passed, to release their soul.
That seems very expensive.
No, you normally just use, like, you don't use, like...
Cheap stones?
No, you don't use, like, diamonds.
I know you do. You just like use, smoky like... smoky quartz, amethyst, stuff like...
Yeah.
Like gemstones, you like can, for your mom.
Typically, I almost want to say it's probably their birthstone.
Okay.
To represent them. I don't know if that's correct, but they do use, like, some sort of stone to represent... each person that they love. Like their kids, their wife.
The dang best friends. Like, I need to get some stones.
Dude, slacking. Right.
Need some rings. Hands. Every finger needs a ring.
Right. All right, let's go on to the next one.
All right. So, tossing spilled salt over the shoulder.
Okay, I've always wondered about that because I, like, see people do it, but I never, like, fully understood it.
It's always confused me. I'm like, okay. Like, I've seen some people where they're like, I spilled salt. Then they take the salt that... out of the new thing, shake it on the hand, then sling it over. Why don't you just sweep up the salt that you just spilled?
And then just do it that way.
Achoo! And then it's, I mean, you're now making two messes. You're throwing it on the floor and then leaving it on the table.
Yeah, that's one of those superstitions where, and I'll even like spill it. And I'm like, what shoulder am I going to throw over it? What shoulder do I throw it over?
Just throw over both.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm just going to cover both shoulders and just call it a day.
I mean, you're hitting both sides of negativity. Let's go. Bye.
Right.
I mean, but. In my belief, salt is actually a very protective ingredient.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you put it in at the long ways, elongated of your doors to put a barrier protection. You can put salt in your yard to ward off evil and negative spirits and stuff like that. Anything that can be harmful or negative.
Oh, yeah.
Salt can be used to say, hey, back your ass up.
Yeah, most people, they'll line their window seals with salt.
Yes. Black salt more intently because it's... It's so you can really see it. Truly, I think.
Where would you get black salt?
It's just taking ashes from like incense and stuff like that, and you just take it and mortar pestle together.
That's not salt. That's just ash.
No, it's you put the salt in the ashes.
Oh, and it makes it black.
Yes, it's all the tartar and stuff from the ashes will turn it black.
Okay, because like I was wondering about that, like with Himalaya salt.
Why is it pink?
Yeah, well, I know why. It's from the rock, Himalayan salt rock. Yeah, no, I knew it's why. It's
how the salt forms. It turns pink.
Okay, yeah, like I knew why that was pink, but then you mentioned black salt. I'm like, how the hell did black you get salt it black?
Is used in paganism and stuff as a protection ingredient.
Oh.
That's why we create it. Because when, like, for me, like, I burn incense, I burn herbs and stuff like that to bring energy, prosperity, and stuff like that into a room. Mm-hmm. So when I use all of that in this little burning pot, I leave all of that in there. And when I'm ready, after all of that energy has been used, I take that and I incorporate it into salt to make black salt. So all that energy that I was using to put out, I'm now putting it in salt.
Oh,
so
then
I can use that very powerful protection ingredient.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's where it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So throwing salt over the shoulder can be an intense for protection.
Yeah, and it's you toss it over your left shoulder. And just like, it says taking a pinch of spilled salt.
Right, but everybody else doesn't. They just toss it from their little shaker. And I'm like, you're not doing it right.
It's like, if you're going to do that, at least do it right.
Right. But if you toss it over your left shoulder, intended to keep the devil at bay, because his he sits on the left while the wing, while on the angel sits on the right. So basically the devil's on your left, the angel's on the right, which is in that scenario that you have your good and evil battling.
Oh, I kind of want to like know how this is associated with Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper painting.
I was going to look the photo up and kind of like think about it, but if I'm not mistaken, someone is tossing salt.
Yeah, Judas. No, I'm going to look this up now. Because now I'm like curious, because if it's like associated with Da Vinci's, I can spell.
Right.
It's in his, it's Judas throwing it over.
Yeah, throwing over salt ogres by his arm on the table. Judas between Christ.
Okay, now I gotta get one that's like labeled, or else I'm not gonna know what I'm looking at.
And he's between who's between Jesus Christ?
Okay, that's John. Okay, what?
Let me see.
No, he's not throwing salt. He's looking at John.
Let me see. Curious.
No one's throwing salt over their shoulder. Unless they're referencing Thomas, but Thomas is like looking at Jesus with like a finger up.
I don't know.
You look. It's kind of interesting too, because like you're like looking at Judas and like Judas is like looking at Jesus in it. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Salt. Judas. I mean, only thing I see is he has a knife in his hand.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, is he actually throwing it over his shoulder?
I don't know.
Like, look at all of them. None of them are throwing salt over their shoulders.
Okay, wait, go back.
Okay, well,
wait, I'm gonna look it up. Throwing.
See, now you gotta. Now we gotta like really look.
Between the seven accounts. I'm wondering if it'll zoom into the photo, like show you. No.
No, it does not.
Yeah, okay, so now I really, after the show, I have to look more.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pull some images up to see, because I'm curious now about that little one, that fact, because I was looking, trying to find it, and I could not find, like, a describing photo to show y'all, everybody.
Yeah, and Judas has
a knife in one hand.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't see his other arm.
Okay, hang on, it's...
Mm-mm.
That's his arm right there.
Are you sure? Because there's... The guy.
Yeah, because that would be his left hand. Because you've got all the three.
Well, I'm right just there. Thinking because the guy, it's orange. The cloth on the sleeve is orange.
He's got another side of the robe.
Oh, so it's that yellowy color.
Yeah. Okay. So he's not. Sense. He's talking to Jesus. It looks like they're like in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. That was confused. So I'm gonna have to look that up a little bit more to get some more details because that doesn't seem.
He spilt salt. He spilled the salt at the Last Supper.
Okay. So is there salt on the table? Do you see, like, maybe the knife bumped it?
Let me look. Oh my gosh, we're really deep diving in this.
Oh no, I will be finding an image to put in this video, I think.
Yeah, okay, it's not... Okay, we gotta go back to the one where it's labeled, because I'm losing it. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, no, that was Peter that was leaning in, talking to him with the knife in the hand. Okay, so, no, it actually shows that Judas, his elbow, his...
Did he bump it?
Yeah, his elbow.
So he spilt the salt.
Yeah, his elbow spilt the salt. So it doesn't actually show that he threw it over.
I was thinking there was like a...
Right, like are we going to have a whole like... right. Right, no, on his shoulder. His elbow, his wrist knocked it over.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that Da Vinci included in that was just spilled salt.
Okay, so that...
Okay, now we know.
We found it. We did our little bit of research because I was
confused. I just had to know. I was like, okay, we're not passing this because I've got to know.
Okay.
I love Da Vinci. So when it comes to his paintings, each one of them has like some sort of meaning behind them.
Right.
Anyways, all right, let's go into the next one.
Knocking on wood.
I definitely do that.
I just did it at your mom's house the other day.
Yeah.
Because I said, I don't get sick.
Knock on wood.
I don't want to get sick.
No, I do that all the time. And what's kind of like great is that wherever we go, we always seem to find some sort of wood.
Oh, I'll look a hole around a whole room if I got to touch something, okay?
Right.
I'm like, where's some wood?
No, I got to knock this off. Right. I got to knock this away.
So this one's very interesting. Kind of like, I was like, okay.
All right, let's hear it.
This practice is... Practice has a few associations, one with the Celtic pagan culture, who believe spirits and gods live in trees. Knocking on the tree trunk intends
to rouse the
deities.
Deities to give protection or a stroke of good luck if done in gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
That is really interesting.
I knew that. That's another reason why I've always knocked on wood.
Okay, I did not know that one.
It's also associated with Christianity, though.
Why am I not surprised?
So, the other connection is Christianity regarding the practice as knocking on the wood of the cross. It's a symbol of God, Jesus Christ, crucifixion. So, that's why they knocked on wood.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because he died for our sins on a wood cross. Mm-hmm. That would make sense to knock on a piece of wood.
Which is funny because, again, Christianity and paganism fall very close together.
Yes.
It's more than people think.
Yes.
Just within belief stuff. Because as another reason I believe in is Christ created all. So again, when believing into to gods and goddesses, Christ created them.
Well, yeah.
That's my intent. He created all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's also created gods, goddesses from all of our generations of history and where they've grew, like in long history line that they've started with.
Yeah. Well, I also think that paganism also draws from Christianity on some of their.
It's actually works. The other way around.
Is it where
paganism was very quickly associated early on in a lot of states or in countries
mm-hmm.
where it was the main belief that, but it was tied into Christianity.
Well, yeah, because that was like the biggest debate during.
But the hard part about it is paganism being connected very hardly in witchcraft.
Well, yeah, because you hear pagans and you're automatically thinking Satanist.
Right, which is completely different than what most people think. I mean, we're just people that allow ourselves to give back in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everything has a heart, everything has an energy, a connection to something.
Yeah, because in, like, 1500, it's about 1500 or 1400, it's right when Queen Elizabeth I, mm-hmm. or it was even before then, before Queen Elizabeth I, where it was very much a battle. I do know that in France, there was another war about that, where they would battle for the, I think, French are Catholic.
Mm-hmm. But it's well associated in Scotland with
yes.
the Druids, Ovates, and Bards, which I'm a part of a community, the Druids, Ovates, and Bards community.
Yeah, well, the Celtic knot ties in with Scotland. Right.
Very strong Celtic stuff is in Scotland.
Yeah, and
it's very still known there.
Yeah.
Like the stone circle, the stone, the wall, the big stones in Scotland.
Yeah.
They are, I know a little snippet about them in pagan belief. Mm-hmm. They are gateways.
Yes.
That lead to different realms in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're used for.
Well, a lot of people believe that a lot of the statues were here way before time.
Yep.
And there was like giants that carried them there because of how massive they are.
Right.
So I think it's just interesting all the way around.
Cause that is a trip I'm going to do. I will be going to Scotland.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because well, I we're want all going to gonna see, go. Like, I'm thinking about like trying to find a cruise that hits them all. Around that England and everything.
Or we can just go and stay in Scotland because...
It's not expensive.
No.
It's not bad.
No, you can literally cross off Ireland, Scotland, and England.
All in one swoop because they're very connected.
Well, yeah.
So, but I think that'd be fun to travel to between the few. Take like 2 weeks and travel.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
That's like a 2-year plan. Like, got to put some money down between 2 years to get it scheduled out because it's absolutely very expensive for the plane tickets to get there.
It literally just a plane ticket.
But once you get there, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But I think that would be so much fun.
Yeah, that would be really cool. All right, on to the next one.
Okay. This one was a little weird. Finding a four-leaf clover. I've never truly known this superstition. I should because I'm a red-headed sea devil. Calm down. But no. This rare plant is hard to find for three-leaf clovers. It signifies his has Christian and Celtic roots.
Mm-hmm.
People believe Eve plucked the four-leaf clover as she and Adam fielded the Garden of Eden.
Fled.
Blah. The Garden of Eden after they fall from grace.
After their fall from grace.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's... I would have never associated that. Never would have known that at all.
Mm-mm. I never would have known that.
No. She just plucked one as they were running away.
Maybe that's what makes it so rare is the fact that Eve picked it. It's like, right. Oh,
I might have picked it, but you can find them.
Yeah. I think my parents once told me that my dad actually found a four-leaf clover and like gave it to my mom.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I used to go looking for them all the time because I was like, I'm going to get lucky. I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Bentley, licking your legs.
Yes. licking my toes.
I see you twitching. That's actually, like, I've heard that seeing a four-leaf clover and picking a four-leaf clover is really good luck.
Well, you want the Celtic belief of it?
Sure.
Celtic culture says four-leaf clovers offer magical powers that shield you from evil and bad luck. Mm-hmm. They also believe that that you can use this plant to see fairies who play deadly pranks and kidnap children and take action.
That's terrifying.
Which, when you think of fairies, everybody thinks fairies are these innocent little fairy creatures.
They are not.
They are not. They are sneaky, manipulating little creatures that will kidnap your kids.
Jesus Christ. How lovely is that?
I love that we protect them a different way than they actually are.
Oh, when they go, like, happy-go-lucky, like Tinkerbell?
Right, when you think of all these movies. But if you think about, like, actual real... traditional thing being brought to like a fairy land or universe, wherever you choose to think that through, they are associated with being able to hone you in, which I don't know if you've ever seen the School for Heroes, Princess and Heroes. So it's like a villains movie on Netflix.
Are you talking about the School for Good and Evil?
That's it.
Yeah, I have seen it.
The fairies on the good side are very evil, MacGyvering things. They are used to keep them in check.
Oh my god, I never even noticed that.
That's why they look, when they do that, like, rah, at her, when she first gets there, they're very evil and they're biting her and stuff like that.
Oh, fun.
They are used
to Could you torment. Imagine just, like, walking through the forest or whatever, and then all of a sudden these fairies just start biting you?
What do you mean? The giant bird skeleton thing that grabs them from the realm of the real world to go to the make-believe world.
Dude, I would cry.
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Yeah, but, like, I want to know that it's coming, because if you're just going to swoop in and pick me up,
Well, the one girl did.
Huh?
The one girl did. She was like, it's my time. I'm going.
You know, I think that might be a movie we watch.
I think we watch it together.
Yeah, let's watch it. Because I really actually enjoy that movie. I thought it was really
good.
It's
very sweet. And it's very intense.
I just like
towards the end, I'm like, whoa.
I like the girl that's like, no, I'm meant to be on the good side, not the evil side.
Yes, but then she ends up finding out she's really good on the evil side. Evil girl.
Dude, my leg will not quit itching.
I don't know. What did you do? Get bit by something?
No. Oh, it's okay. Like right on my Game of Thrones tattoo, too.
Odd. Odd. Why?
I don't know.
That's odd.
Maybe it's trying to tell me I need to go read Game of Thrones. But I got to see
it. Or it's tattoo fever time and your body's telling you you need another tattoo.
Listen, I'm always down for a new tattoo.
Me, too. I think text time I am going.
Okay.
I want to go get my other side done on my arm. Or I'm going to start my mandala.
I think you should start your mandala.
Start it.
Yeah.
At least the top part, because I want to intertwine to finish this top bottom part of my arm.
Yeah. Good idea. I like it. I like it a lot,
because I need to get rid of this. They botched it when they did it, so yeah. I want to like intertwine that mandala and try to cover it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Take so much focus on those little line errors that they did, because they sucked.
Yeah, because it looks like your middle one gets like skinnier.
It does. He like, had blowout.
Oh my god, he really did blow it out.
He dug it too deep.
Yeah.
It blew out the ink.
Good god.
So, yep, not going to say names, but botched my tattoo. Won't be going back there. I stopped going.
Yeah.
I have a whole new tattoo artist in Myrtle Beach. So if you really want to go, let me know. I'll tell you where to go. I love my guy.
My guy's just as good.
I know. You have your preferences. I have my preferences.
This is true. This is true.
My guy also is really good on pricing. I mean, he did this whole arm for $500.
Listen, don't spill your secrets, because they're not going to, not everybody's going to get that piece for $500.
I know. But yeah. I appreciate him, but he also ended up making like another $250 on top of that because I tip very nicely.
Yeah. Listen, you take care of your people.
They'll take care of you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure I tip.
Yeah, but
you should always tip when it comes to getting ink, because that's a person literally carving into your skin.
It's not just like people who give you ink, but it's people who like deliver stuff.
Service staff.
And they do, yeah, when they give you a service,
right,
you should tip them.
Always. 100%.
I have the
especially your
time,
postal
though.
Carriers, because we are people too that deliver your mail every day and packages.
They do you do not tip postal servicemen.
Yes, they do, actually.
Do they really?
My Christmas bonuses was nice from my customers.
What?
So during Christmas time,
am I in the wrong line of business?
So in Christmas time, they will give you cards with cards, Starbucks cards. Like they feed my Starbucks addiction.
Oh,
I ain't gonna lie, because I think I got $200-something worth of cards from all my customers for Starbucks.
See, I never would have thought. Like I know to like what I like to do sometimes. Like at my parents' house, we'll like set out, especially during the summer, we'll set up water
snacks. We have those people do that too, but like. If you, like, build a connection with your customers and you talk with them, you're not scared to. A lot of them build a connection where they feel like they need to give you something for the holidays.
That's so nice.
I appreciate everybody like that did that. I made sure I sent them a card saying thank you,
that sort
appreciating
of
them. And it validates your postal carrier.
Yeah, that reminds me of, like, during Christmas, my clients gift me with presents, and I love it. Like, they could just give me literally a dollar, and I'm like, oh, my God, thank you.
Right.
Because I just feel appreciated, and I think that's, like, the hardest thing is that when you're doing a lot for people, you want to feel appreciated. And I have never felt more appreciated in my job than any other job. I just love my clients.
Right. But that's a lot of people don't realize you can tip your postal carrier. We're doing you a service.
Oh, okay.
And if
now
you want that mail and you don't want it screwed up, you make sure you make them happy, your postal carrier, because if you make them angry, they will stop delivering your mail and they will make it rough on you.
So don't piss off a postal serviceman.
Why do that? Because we're the ones to deliver your packages that y'all are so needily that want from Amazon.
True.
Because I'm one of them, too.
I'll tell you what, though. Amazon's got me spoiled with them coming in so quick that when I order from Temu, I'm like, okay, where is it? It's been 3 days. And, like, I'm just so used to Amazon bringing
it's
that
like,
stuff
there,
so
next day,
quick.
Next day.
Yeah, like, come on, let's go.
Which I'm so excited because I think they're putting a Amazon warehouse here.
They are.
In Conway.
Yeah, and so that means most of the area might be able to get, like, drone drop-offs.
Chica, if a drone drops a package off my front, I'm going to be happy. Hello, droney. I hope you like
it. You can drop this off here.
Give me the package. I want them to do the hover one, though. The one where there's a person that drives it.
Oh, that'd be cool. I don't know how I like. I don't know how I would react. I, don't know,
I would do it in a heartbeat. I want to. I want one. I want one. I want to drive it.
Year 3000.
Calm down.
If you get that reference, you know.
Girl, if it was 3000, I'm old. I'm old.
Do you not get that reference?
I do.
Where's it from?
Oh boy, I knew you were gonna ask for what show that's from.
It's not from a show.
Is it a movie?
No.
Where is it from?
Jonas Brothers.
The song?
Yes. Oh my god, you've got to be shitting me right now.
You know, I'm not a big Jonas Brothers fan, other than... Have you seen the stuff lately where his last concert, he was like full on almost naked?
Who are you talking about?
There was a picture. Oh my god. My phone's
the Jonas Brothers?
It was not them as a band. It's Nick, I think.
They only tour together right now.
I don't know. There was a picture that came across where he's like in like black underwear and like leg strap thing. It was weird. Okay, I got you now.
Yeah.
Calm down. I don't have rights for that music. Just going to state that I do not have the rights to use that music, so it's probably going to cut that out if I go on YouTube.
Well, as long as we say we don't have the rights, it's...
So.
Sorry.
I will put a snippet at the bottom. That is by the Jonas Brothers. That little snippet.
Giving, the Jonas Brothers.
Giving validation to you.
Woo, woo. Love a good Jonas Brothers. Anyways.
Don't hate us. Don't mute the video, please.
They're not going to do that.
YouTube will.
Well, we might not even post this on YouTube.
I don't know. It's been very laggy, so I don't know yet.
Exactly.
We'll see. Well, you ready to jump into the next little snippet?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Let's get it.
Journey of self-improvement for my life with Dalton. We're going to talk about a few things that I like went through when growing up in the Bible Belt state, being gay and in the closet and very nervous on coming out of my life and seeing where I came to be where I'm at now.
Yeah, I think it's all just, like, interesting to watch, because when I met you when you were 15, you were just this shy little kid.
Shy little cotrebunkin from Georgetown County.
Yeah, and, like, you had, like, the flippy hair, long, curly, flippy hair.
My surfer hair, my floopy, loopy hair.
Dude, I thought you were so annoying back then.
Yes, you did, but now guess where we're at now? Still annoying each other.
Yeah, but, like, to me, it's just normal, but when I was, oh, God, you were 15, that makes me, what, 17?
Oh, my God, 17? When I was a freshman, I was an annoying little kid.
Yeah, I think I was, like, 17.
I didn't know my place. I didn't know where I was going to put myself.
No, and, you like, did not
what,
know
what
your
I was going to do.
Yeah.
That was my issue.
There was a couple times where I was like, if you don't stop, I'm gonna ring you a new one.
Right. But
I'm not
you know
a bad
what?
15-year-old telling me what to do.
I was right.
At 15?
Girl, I still said the truth. And I was right about it.
Not even like that, but it was mainly like theater-wise. Because you're fresh into theater.
Yeah, I know.
And I shoved you in the booth.
But I did really good in the booth because I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, you did do really good in the booth. But there was a couple times where I did have you backstage.
Yeah, but I hated being on stage, though.
Yeah, you didn't like carrying that stuff out during.
It didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I just don't like losing control.
Yeah, and that's the spot where you...
You a little bitch in backstage, okay?
Well, not
your
only...
stage manager is your boss. So you listen, you are in charge. They are in charge of you. And if you do not listen, they can kick you off a stage set real quick.
Yeah.
So...
Well, actually, realistically, the stage manager wouldn't even be backstage.
No, it's usually your
doing the calls. Your assistant stage managers.
Assistant stage managers are the ones that are going to snap at you because your stage manager should be calling off cues in the booth.
Yeah. But just like watching you go through it, like I remember, you know, having those girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
I tried to fix it. It didn't
work. No. No. I think I remember hearing from somebody. Where it was Dalton came out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And I said, I had to tell them, like, repeat that? Yeah, they're like, Dalton Tadlock, yeah, he's gay. And I was like, no shit, that explains everything.
Right, because I was very feminine acting, very pitchy voice back then.
Yeah, and, like, a couple people, like, would, like, question it and, like, see, like, are we sure that he's straight? But then I was like, no, he's got a girlfriend. Like, there's no way. And then all of a sudden...
2 years.
Yeah, and then you came out, and I was like,
yeah, I just knew the girl parts were not for me. It's just not.
No.
Not, it didn't work for me.
You tried.
At least I tried.
Yeah, and
I am not a gold star gay, because I tried.
Yeah, and I remember, like, in the very beginning, like the when you did come out, mm-hmm. it was almost hard. It was not almost hard. It was really hard because you were talking to me about it. And it was hard listening mm-hmm. to, like, how certain people reacted.
Oh, yeah.
And you know exactly where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was almost kind of devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just could not imagine. And it was just so hard to...
When it was... When I was coming out and, like, doing my thing, it was hard because society was still not as generous to people that are gay.
We were slowly getting there.
Right. It was known that people are gay, they're same sex and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. it was very hard for, like, going to school with being that way, and the years that we were in school mm-hmm. was still hated.
I wouldn't say it was hated. I just think it just wasn't
something that people were associated with.
No, it was more of just not talked about. So they didn't quite understand. It wasn't the norm yet.
No.
Because there were several people in the school that were gay,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't one of those things that was talked about a lot.
Right.
It wasn't the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say it was, like, a bad thing.
Right.
No one treated... I don't... See, in the theater world, it's so completely different, where in my mind, nobody treated you any different. It just kind of all clicked and made sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I had still had a lot of friends that were like our friends group that we were in when high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they supported me and, like, were okay with it and stuff. Now I had a few that were not okay with it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's to become. But outside of that bubble of people,
mm-hmm.
it's still hard with the comments and the bullying between that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was literally beat up in middle school. That's why I was back in the closet in high school.
Yeah.
People knew in middle school, but I got beat up. I've had people fight for me,
mm-hmm.
and it's rough. So it was just a lot on me as a 12, 13-year-old
mm-hmm.
going through middle school and struggling. There was a lot of times where it was easier to not think about anything.
Yeah, and it's just so wild because... And that's just, like, the difference between just within, like, a few miles.
Right.
Because I knew a couple people when I was going to a different school.
Mm-hmm.
There was no issue with it. There was none. They were like, okay.
That could also just be Georgetown County as it is.
Well, yeah, look, it's Georgetown County.
Country bumpkins all over.
It's literally the good old boys club.
Pretty much.
And I can't stand, like, I don't mind the thinking, but I also can't stand the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so many men try to buck up.
Right.
To me, and I'm like, this ain't gonna work, bud. Like, the good old boys club, the being intimidating, mm-hmm. it ain't gonna work.
Right.
It's not gonna work.
Yep.
And it just gets annoying when, like, it gets hard hearing the fact that people in your shoes
mm-hmm.
go through that. Because I didn't give a shit. I didn't care.
Usually people don't.
No, and, like, I had a couple friends who... transition, and I was like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care. Let me just, like, give me a second to process it. Like, it doesn't change the view,
right?
My viewpoint of you. It's mm-hmm. just, I just gotta change my brain around just to make sure it's correct when I'm speaking to you, so I'm not offending you or insulting you. But you coming out of the closet was honestly the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Yes. It changed. A lot of things changed, like mm-hmm. how I had to react and be with people, because now it's known.
Yeah.
So, again, there's still hesitation.
Yeah.
Because we're still all growing up,
mm-hmm.
learning who we are and what we're doing with our lives, truly. So, mm-hmm. that's kind of where you have to look at it.
I think the biggest thing is, though, is that for me... when it comes to being open with yourself and really allowing yourself to be yourself,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't need to be your whole identity.
Right.
You are more than just a gay person.
Right.
You are a friend. You are a fiance. You are a brother. You are a son. I've built
lines and connections with people because I'm very easy to get along with.
Yes. And you also don't make it like it your whole personality.
I don't live to be gay. I'm just gay.
Yeah, that's just you. That's just you.
Now, yeah. Oh, I will make jokes like, oh, it's the gay. Make like,
yeah, and to that's make
people
fine.
Laugh because yeah. It's more of a comedian base. Like, I want to see people enjoy my company, mm-hmm. have a way to joke about it, and not make it so serious all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like where it is.
And I feel like it's the same thing as, oh, I'm just a man. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to like decorating. Mm-hmm. Somebody can say, oh, I'm just a man. Like, I really don't know. Same thing as, oh, it's the gay. That's uh-huh. literally the exact same. The only difference is the man's not saying, oh, I'm just straight, so I don't know.
Right, but I got taste also better than some straight people.
Well, yeah. But
we know how to accessorize.
Yeah.
And decorate. And mm-hmm. just all around, we know how to make a house look pretty.
Yes.
I mean, as our house is very pretty.
It is pretty.
So.
But I think overall, like, watching you go through this journey of really finding yourself mm-hmm. has definitely helped you in the future.
Right. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because you went through your early 20s. You very much went through, I almost want to say, a little bit of a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Like, you were trying to find your footing
mm-hmm.
and just exploring. And it was amazing to watch
right.
you find your footing. It's like watching a newborn learning how to walk
mm-hmm.
or watching a baby learn how to walk.
Right.
You're finding the footing of what makes you you
mm-hmm.
because you're almost like rebuilding the new version of you.
Right.
And seeing the fact that you found your footing,
mm-hmm.
you found where you belonged.
Right.
And then as soon as you found where you belonged and really loved yourself, you met Colin.
Oh, and having him in my life has made a big difference,
mm-hmm.
which we'll go into a little bit more about in the next little snippet mm-hmm. here in a second, because it's more about mine and his like living styles on how we both are together.
Yeah.
But no, having Colin as a partner in my life, because he's my fiance now. Eventually we will be married. But
I can't wait for that. It's going to be a whole Twilight theme.
Oh yes, it will be, because I want to do that. I'm obsessed with
Listen, if I'm not getting married and I don't get the Twilight dream wedding, you're getting it.
Oh, gladly.
I would gladly
have it, but I'm thinking I want your mom to take photos though.
That's fine. I will be Edmund carrying in logs. Giant logs Roar. For people to sit on. And with all the wisteria. Oh, God, I cannot wait. I literally cannot wait.
I just love the concept of being in the woods. Like a pretty nice wood setting.
We got to go hunting for a pretty wood setting.
But I kind of want fall to see all the colors too, though.
Okay, so you're going to do it in the middle of like November, December?
No.
Okay, that's... Oh, what are you going to do? Go to Virginia? Virginia.
There is a place out there that is pretty. It's like an old cathedral wood church that's out in the middle of the woods.
That's in Arkansas.
I want to go there.
You want to dust it? I swear to God. If you get married in Arkansas, I'm going to be so pissed.
Why?
That's where I wanted to get married.
I'll just take your dreams too.
That's okay. I'll just live vicariously through you.
You already do me.
I know.
Like, your mentality, I'm like, I don't need to go out. I can stay home and save money. Like, you're learning that from me and Colin. Because, like,
am.
We do not go out anymore.
No.
Like, we'll go out to eat and have, like, our date nights and stuff like that. But when it comes to money spending, I'm not going to go to no nightclub and go to a bar.
Mm-mm.
When I go by it myself and sit at home and drink a bottle of wine and watch movies and eat whatever I want.
Or I can just sit at home and read my book.
Right. Like, a glass of wine and book.
I should have done that this Friday.
Oh, yes, you should have.
Wasted my Friday.
Yes, you did.
We're not getting into it. It's all about you today.
It's not all about me today. No, we're not doing that. I mean, but it is a little bit about me. And then next week, apparently, it's about me because it's my interview week.
Yeah.
So you get to interview me and talk about some of the things we're doing now, but mm-hmm. not in as much depth with each subject. Like, I hit a few things that I knew I wanted to talk about. Like, I want to say one thing. Like, when you're going through everything, when being gay and in the closet and hiding, it's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my biggest takeaway from the whole thing that I want someone to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but I would say keep pushing through, because in the long run, it will get better.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep pushing through. But those are building blocks that have built this brick road that you are gladly walking on to find where I am now in my life. So don't give up. Don't stop fighting for who you are and where you want to be in your life, because it's rough now. It always is at first, because it's new. It's still not 100% mainstream, but people will change.
I mean, I would say, though,
it's more known now.
It's very mainstream.
But it's more known now than when I was growing up.
Yes, and it's very mainstream.
But sometimes some family members are not 100% with this whole same-sex marriage thing.
And that, I think a lot of people need to realize, that's okay.
I'm choosing love over society.
When you're dealing with situations like that, what I have found that listening to everybody tell me their story, that is completely normal for how certain people act of like, that's not okay.
Right.
You have to give them a moment. Mm-hmm. You have to give them a chance to really process it.
Right.
And don't just automatically think, oh, they're going to hate me. Now, if your family does say, you know, this is just, I can't do this. It's too much. Mm-hmm. That's a them decision.
Right.
And that's okay too. Just, you have to honor what they're thinking because it is so different than that.
Yeah.
But it's also really hard to go through that. There's been a couple teenagers that have been like, well, my family doesn't want anything to do with me.
Right.
Because I'm gay.
Mm.
That's okay. That's okay. You are going to surround yourself with more people that love you.
Mm-hmm.
They will come around. That's like ripping. Okay. Say you have an iPhone. Okay. I know this sounds absolutely insane to compare this to.
It's probably going to, but it's fine.
I don't know how to like.
Just go with it.
I don't want to offend anyone.
No offense, everybody. But she's going to say it how it is because it's the only way I can interpret something. So take it as it is. That's what I do. Let's go. Say it as it is.
Okay. Say that you have your favorite coffee. Okay. We'll go with coffee.
Okay.
Okay. Because we're drinking our coffee.
With my mushroom cup.
Say you're absolutely obsessed with a certain brand.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden somebody goes, you're not drinking that anymore.
Oh, I'd cut a bitch.
You're not drinking it because it's really bad for you.
I'd cut a bitch. Because you want me to see it hurt somebody.
You see
take my coffee away.
You see how you're getting mad right now because something has been taken away.
Or this my not, coffee. Not you want me mentally away. Stable? Because I will hurt somebody if I don't drink something.
All right. Say in another stance that I'm trying to find a metaphor that kind of like makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost kind of like drawing a blank. I guess we'll go. Okay, we'll use you as an example. Okay?
Oh, boy.
You were very Christian growing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Did that or did that not create problems within the household?
No. Surprisingly, no.
Okay, you're making this really hard. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think if you just allow somebody to just, like, rework their brain.
Mm-hmm.
I got just one.
Rewiring. Just
yeah. Imagine taking the same street every single day to work, and then all of a sudden that street's gone.
You have to go another way.
You have to factory reset your brain on another way of going.
Because I'll naturally try to go the same way that I always do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking of it like that, that person naturally goes that way.
Mm-hmm.
That parent automatically thinks it's going to end up like this.
Right.
You know, as a parent, you have this dream for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're expecting, and most of the time, I, as a parent, do not have those dreams.
Right.
I don't set myself up of Magnolia's going to be married with a husband, with a couple kids, and a great career. I did not set up my brain that way.
Right.
Because I know, I've seen the effects of that dream mm-hmm. as a parent be ripped away.
Gotcha.
You know, that parent, all of a sudden, as you know, when that parent has the child,
mm-hmm.
that parent is going to think, my son's going to grow up and have a wife and a couple kids and a great career. He's going to be this man and this man. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, at 13, 14, that boy's coming to you saying, Mom and Dad, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally ripping that road mm-hmm. that they've taken every single day to work
right.
out, and now they have to refactory set their brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially is what is happening.
Right.
But if you allow that parent or that person to rewire their brain and give them some time to process that,
mm-hmm.
before you know it, you're right back on track. That road is rebuilt.
Right.
But in this case, it's you got a little bit of different scenery with it. Mm-hmm. Instead of worrying about your son getting someone pregnant, you're now worrying. You don't have to worry about that.
No, he could try as hard as he want, but it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, now you just have to worry about, you know, really bad hospitals.
Why?
Hemorrhoids.
If you're aggressive, hemorrhoids will happen.
Okay, anyways, we're not getting into that. But you don't have to, like, there are certain things, like, when you, like, you get a new scenery, you get a new outlook on life. And I think that's what's so exciting, is that you two, you and Colin, bring such a different outlook on life.
Let's just say, being gay, I have less stress because females are drama filled, but a gay man can too. But girls have a lot more drama in their life.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever be lesbian.
Oh, no, no. Girl, I think he would kill him.
Yeah.
Like
the mind fuckery.
Yes.
That's all because women think emotionally, men think physically.
Yes.
They think.
But let's just say a man knows what a man wants. So in the long run, it works.
It's true.
Because we know how to be who we are, and we know how to happily make someone else happy at the same time.
That's very true. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you could tell a 14-year-old who is having a hard time trying to decide if they want to come out of the closet or not, mm-hmm. what would you tell them?
Okay. If you're wanting to come out.
But you're not sure how your family's going to take it. But you're really, really nervous.
Okay, so like me, you won't know until you fully say it what they're going to think about. So, like, my family, I completely thought it was going to be, like, the worst thing ever. It was going to be really bad. Mm-hmm. I had a really positive situation. Like, my mom was accepting me. My mom's like, I knew. Which most moms do.
Yeah, yeah. My mom automatically knew when she met you at 15.
So, I'm going to say that now. Everyone, your mom is going to know. Your moms know. Sometimes dads are not so supportive. My stepdad was very supportive for me, and that was refreshing.
That. Mm-hmm.
That my stepdad is very open-minded to things, and he allowed me to be who I am and not feel judged.
Mm-hmm.
That was my best thing. So what I can say to you is just go for it. Now, unless there's a whole nother scenario on they're going to truly hate this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of play it by what you feel.
Yeah.
So, if you're nervous, yeah, there's reason to be nervous because you never know how it's going to turn out. But you won't truly know what will happen until you jump out and do it.
Yeah.
So, that's what I would say is just, in the long run, just go for it.
Yeah. I think also the hardest part is that I'm so worried. I worry about teenagers.
Yes.
Especially with them coming out because
you never know what their home life is.
Yes.
So you don't know what's going to happen. So that's, oh, there's a boopers in the nose. The Bentley's booping his nose over in the camera.
And I commend you for coming out and
I don't think my life would be where it is if I didn't.
No.
Or if I would be here still. Yeah. I'm going to say it like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd still be here if I was still in
the closet. And see, I think that's the saddest part is that so many teenagers come out and the percentage, you know, y'all know exactly where I'm going. The percentage is absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? It's if you're not sure in the very beginning,
right?
It's also okay to experiment.
Oh, 100%. I had to before I fully knew what I wanted. I mean, but I still tried to fix it. Man, that's society issues. But I stopped thinking about society's choice and aspect on me, and I chose love.
Yeah. And, like, even at 16, like, some girls think, you know, a man is what they want. And they get into that relationship, and then years go down, and by the time they're in their 20s, that's when they really figure out, okay, I'm actually lesbian. Like, yes, I've dated a man. Or you can be bisexual, where, yes, I love men and I love women, but I prefer women. I think that's, like, the best part about being outside of high school. Because it's okay if you feel that way in high school.
We're grown-ups. Yeah. High school drama is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, 100% waste of time. So, nothing get out of it.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where I fall in that. I'm like, as an adult, things change.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, there was this one kid that we know that was very gay all through high school. You can very much tell he very much said it. He was very open about it. And then you get to a certain age and it's, they're like, oh, wait, hang on a minute. I actually have feelings for her. So, and I think...
Which can fall under asexuality.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Like, you're happy, you don't need sexual preferences. Mm-hmm. You're happy with just emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that's, you're like an introvert too. I'll say at the same time, if you're asexual, it would be pan. That's the one.
Pan-romantic.
Pan-romantic or pansexual would be true terms for that.
Yeah, pan-romantic is where you're just, you love all aspects of mm-hmm. love, whether it's between man on man or a woman on woman or man and woman.
Right. It just depends on, you have to experiment and figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
You can't just think you're going to know by looking at someone. You're going to have to experiment because sometimes when it comes down to fact, it's not something for somebody.
Right. And, you know, and that is completely okay.
Right. But yeah. I think that'll wrap it up again for another episode of Two BFFs and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a good way to end off is push through, always just kind of be yourself and live by what you believe in. So,
yep. So I also just want to remind everyone that we do post a new episode every Monday. And also, feel free to ask us questions.
Because I would love to do a Q&A.
Yeah, like, ask us questions. Give us feedback. I've gotten a lot of feedback on what could change, what they like to hear.
Yeah, because we're trying no break this time.
I mean,
we tried it, got a feedback that it wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to do breaks. Maybe later on, if I can get some commercials or stuff like that added in, then we'll do that. But right now, I think let's just push through and...
Yeah, leave us comments on our Facebook and our Instagram.
Yeah, because I would love to hear like what we should change, what we mm-hmm. should do. I mean, I'm hoping everybody likes the lighting this time because Dalton's been busy.
He's always changing it. If you look at all of our YouTube videos, every single one is
something's different. Yeah, like this one has very good lighting in the face.
Yeah, and like this time we're like straight on in our like area
instead of the corner.
Last week we were like catty cornered.
Who knows what will happen next week, because we might be on the couch. I don't know yet.
Oh, being on the couch would be nice.
I know you're so excited to go on the couch, but I'm like, okay, so that means I need to get another softbox.
Oh, geez, we're not doing all that. But I'm always on
the... I need lighting better. Like, if we're on the couch, we're spaced out a little bit more, and I'm going to need better lighting.
Yeah. But I'm always on the Instagram, always on the Facebook, and so is Dalton.
I keep up with a few things. I'm pretty knowledgeable. But now when it comes to marketing, she's doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing all the social media, working that. So if you guys have any questions or if you wanted to share your story and want it to be anonymous, just let us know. Send us a message.
Direct messages on Facebook, and we'll gladly read back and try to get a hold of you mm-hmm. if we need to. I mean, I'd love to do a phone call. If I need to call somebody, I will.
Yes. Oh, and I also wanted to mention that on our website, 2BFFNAMike.com, if you ever wanted to, we do have a subscription for our bloopers, and we also have in the top right corner a little coffee mug. Is it a mm-hmm. coffee mug? If you guys ever wanted to buy us a coffee, when you buy us a coffee, we will do a shout out and everything in between mm-hmm. with it. You guys are not obligated to. I just wanted to let y'all know that's also on there because we've never talked about it. I love to
call you out.
Yes.
Let me call you a name.
Yeah. Let us call you out.
Right. I mean, I could do an episode like where if you put it on buy us a coffee, I could roast you. Mm-hmm. We can attempt to do that. I mean,
oh, yeah. We could totally roast you if you want us to.
Listeners. Yeah. Roast the listener.
Oh, come on. That'd be so much fun.
Roast the listener every week.
Yeah. And on top of it, on our website, it also allows you, if you don't have any of the platforms that we're on, it also allows you to listen to.
So it's a free option instead of mm-hmm. having to like have a subscription to any services or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's a free option just by going to the website.
It makes it a lot easier for the ones who don't have Spotify, Apple,
Doubt, I try to get it on YouTube, even mm-hmm. if we're not posting the video and it's just voice, it's still posted.
Mm-hmm.
I have a background that's used for that.
Yep. So if you just head on over to 2BFFinamic.com, you can look at everything, subscribe to everything, and do what you want to do.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So again, wraps up another episode of 2BFFs and a Mic. My name is Dalton.
And I'm Ruby Jane. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next time.
Hello, everyone. I just want to take a moment to express our heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you who listen to our podcast. Your support means the world to us. We truly appreciate the time you take out of your day to listen to what we have to say. Whether you've been with us from the very beginning or just discovering our podcast now, we're so grateful for your presence. We love hearing from you, so please don't hesitate to reach out with your feedback, suggestions, or just saying hello. Your engagement keeps us going and helps us improve each episode. So thank you for being part of the podcast community. We couldn't do this without you, and we're looking forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future. So stay tuned until the next episode, and thank you for listening to the podcast.